Now we're going to read the Word of God together in Genesis chapter 26. Reading in Genesis chapter 26, commencing at verse 1. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went on to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, She is my sister. For he feared to say, She is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window, and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, Behold, of a surety she is thy wife. And how saidest thou, She is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, Because I said, Lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, What is this thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldst have brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, He that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Then Isaac sowed in that land, and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great, and went forward, and grew, until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks, and possession of herds, and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the day of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley, and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, The water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father, Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. We'll end at the verse 25, and we know the Lord will add his own blessing to the public reading of his word. Let us unite our hearts again in prayer, asking the Lord to remember us, to meet with us through his word. Our loving eternal Father, we praise thee for the Master, for the good Master. We know that none can teach like thyself, and we pray that thou wilt teach us to profit through thy word. Oh, may our souls prosper and profit much from the study of the word. Draw ever near to us, we pray. Command a blessing upon our waiting souls, and may none leave unblessed, unhelped, uninstructed. O speak, Lord, make thyself known to us each one, and meet with us here. We ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen. The book of Genesis is largely the account of four patriarchs: Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and Joseph. Abraham lived for 175 years, Isaac 186 years, Jacob 147, Joseph 110 years. So Isaac was the longest living, but he has the least written concerning his life. Approximately 12 chapters are devoted to Abraham, 12 to Jacob, and 12 to Joseph. Chapter 26 of Genesis is the only one devoted exclusively to Isaac. In Isaac, we may say that we have the record of a quiet life. What charisma surrounds Abraham? To this day, he is venerated by the Jewish people, by Muslims, by the followers of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Abraham is the pivotal character in ancient history. A man of faith, of courage, of war, of hospitality, of prayer and wisdom. God is the God of Abraham, but do not forget that he is also the God of Isaac. He is also the God of the quiet domestic person. The Lord who makes us to differ holds all of us in his omnipotent hand and keeps us all his people as the apple of his eye. Isaac, the man who never set foot in the land of Egypt, but lived on the borders of the promised land, is typical of the people of God who have their dwelling in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There are four things that we want to note about Isaac's life. First of all, Isaac's inclination. In Genesis chapter 22, we see Isaac submitting to his father's will, allowing himself to be bound to the altar. The next reference to him is in chapter 24 and verses 62. And 3. Isaac came from the way of the well Laharoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. Here we view Isaac coming from the well and going out into the field to meditate, or as the margin says, to pray. Oh, this is the practice of a Christian, living by the well, meditating on the one whom their souls love, and frequenting the place of prayer. Isaac is linked with wells seven times. In chapter 26 and verse 19, we read about a well of springing water. The word indicates living, lively water. Isaac was by a well of lively, living water. And that brings to mind the words that the Lord spoke on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. In John chapter 7 and verses 37 to 9, the Lord stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive." There are three things that the Lord mentions here in John chapter 7, all woven together. We have in verse 37 the Son of God, in verse 38 the Scriptures, and in verse 39 the Spirit of God. Isaac's inclination to live by the well was in type living in fellowship with the Son of God, under the influence of the Scriptures of God, and in communion with the Holy Spirit. His roots were put down by the well and then nourished by fellowship with the Son, meditating on the Word and communing with the Holy Spirit. Is this the inclination, the increasing yearning of your heart? Like David, does your heart thirst for the living God? David longed that someone would give him a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem. Oh, do you draw with joy water from the well of salvation? The writer said, "How welcome to the soul oppressed in sorrow's veil by raging thirst, scorched by the sun's meridian beam, is the sweet well of Bethlehem. Waters so pure are half so good, from natural fountains never flowed. There's a curse and death in every stream, save in the well of Bethlehem." The streams of earth are broken cisterns, but the wells of our God, they run full of living water. There's enough for all, enough for each. May we have the same inclination, live every day drinking at the fountainhead, considering, meditating on our Lord and Savior, seeking his face in prayer. We learn something else about his inclination. We learn here about his meekness and his weakness. Water was such a precious commodity there under the searing heat of the eastern sun. So when Isaac reopened his father's wells, the Philistines fought with his herdsmen over the possession of them? Did you notice that in reading through chapter 26 of Genesis? Look at verse 20 again. The herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, "The water is ours." They wanted the water exclusively for themselves. And so Isaac called the name of the well Esek, meaning contention. How did he respond? Isaac responded by moving on. Verse 21, they digged another well, and the men of Gerar strove for it also. Once more, Isaac moved, and in verse 22, we are told he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. This is telling us, when it came to personal rights, Isaac, he waived them, rather than being embroiled in strife. He moved to another place. You and I need to know when to stand aside like Isaac, when to let that contentious matter drop. No doubt Isaac felt the sharp edge of the dispute. His honor, his pride was wounded, but in meekness he stood aside. All of us in the passage of life are tested in this very area. And the fruit of the Spirit, among other things, is meekness. And may we manifest such a spirit. May we have this inclination. But there's not only meekness, there's weakness. Weakness in Isaac in not standing up for the land that had been promised to Abraham by the Lord. Abimelech was responsible for the herdsmen who were causing the trouble. And in verse 30, he came to see Isaac. And what did Isaac do? He made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. He received him. Abraham, in an identical situation, he reproved Abimelech in chapter 21 and verse 25. Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. Abraham, he wasn't weak at this point. Those opportunities that are given to us to stand up for the Lord must not be waived. We think of when David faced Goliath. Others were pouring cold water on his plans to take on the Philistine champion. But David said, "Is there not a cause?" He was driven to stand by a flaming zeal for the honor of the Lord's name. Let us have meekness when our own honor is in the balance, but no weakness when we must take our stand for God. Martin Luther, at the Council of Worms, in contending with Roman Catholicism, he said, "I cannot do otherwise. Here I stand, God helping me." Isaac's inclination. But then we move, secondly, to Isaac's entreaty. Isaac was married when he was 40. He was 60 years of age when Jacob and Esau were born. That's what we learn in chapter 25 And the verse 26. Isaac was threescore years old when Rebekah bore Jacob and Esau. So, for 20 years, Isaac and Rebekah's home was childless. When Rebekah left her parents, this blessing was ringing in her ears. In chapter 24 of Genesis and the verse 60, her parents and her family, they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, "Thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions." This is how they put it. In other words, there would be a great posterity. Her parents expected from this marriage union with Isaac a very numerous family. Rebekah and Isaac were looking to God's promise. And they had the same expectation. It seemed as if such a posterity was not to be. The years were passing, and there were no children. And it was all the more trying for Isaac when he took account of how many children had been brought into Ishmael's home. Ishmael was outside the will of God, and yet it seemed that he was prospering, and Isaac, he accepted God's choice of a spouse unreservedly, completely. His seed is to be as the stars of heaven. But he and Rebekah live childless. Why is it? You have asked the question in various circumstances, why is it? With our limited understanding, we cannot see God's purpose in the delays, the disappointments. Well, how did Isaac react? In chapter 25 and verse 21, we see his entreaty. Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. The meaning of the word entreated is constantly and instantly. And this is what we must do with life's problems, its perplexities. Leave them in the hand of the Lord. And Isaac learned that God's discipline was not a denial, only a delay. The Lord gave an abundant answer in the birth of Jacob and Esau. Have your prayers been as persistent as Isaac's? Is your heart exercised in the patience of faith? Do not give up entreating the Lord. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. His inclination, his entreaty. Notice thirdly, Isaac's imitation. He imitates his father in the time of famine. Notice in the opening verses of chapter 26, there was a famine in the land, beside the famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. Isaac's reaction in this time of great famine was exactly the same as his father's. Only God prevented Isaac in his folly getting as far as Egypt. God said to him, "Dwell in the land," verse 2, "which I shall tell thee of." And the meaning of the word dwell is to tabernacle, or dwell tent-wise. You know that a tent is not one's permanent residence. It's put up for a short time. And so Isaac was to dwell in this land tent-wise. Do not be putting your roots down. Verse 3, sojourn in this land. And the verse we find in verse 6, that Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the verse 8 explains that he had been there a long time. Abimelech and Naomi, in a time of famine, they left Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn in Moab, idolatrous Moab. They went there to sojourn, not intending to stay. But the second verse of Ruth chapter 1 explains that they continued there. The temptation in the time of difficulty is to go back to the world with the intention not to stay long. But all too often it wraps its chains around. And like Isaac, we're there for a long time. Have you been for a long time where you ought not to be? Are there wasted years in your experience? We are viewing Isaac's backsliding, imitating his father. And while here in Gerar, he commits the same sin as his father, a carbon copy. In verse 7, the men of the place asked Isaac about his wife. Is Rebekah your wife? And to save his skin, he said, she is my sister. He feared to tell the truth that she was his wife. He feared that the men of Gerar would kill him to have Rebekah. He did the same as his father before him. Manasseh was the most wicked king that ever sat on the throne of Judah, more wicked than Ahab, for he reigned longer. And during his reign, he influenced Amon, his son. We know that Manasseh eventually repented. He obtained mercy. And though that was so, there was no repentance in Amnon's heart. His life had been molded while his father was living in wickedness, ungodliness, and all Manasseh's tears never brought Amnon one step to God. And the lesson here is that all of our lives, they have an impact on others around us. Abraham's life in this situation had an impact on Isaac's life. He imitated him. And that's a sobering thought. We are sermons in shoes. Sermons in shoes. And what is the gospel according to you and I? What influence do we have on those around us each day? Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 to the believers in Corinth, chapter 4 and verse 16, he says, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. He is saying to them, be imitators of me. But then he qualifies what he's saying in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians and verse 1. He repeats and he says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. They could safely follow Paul, for he was earnestly following the Lord. May our lives be worthy of imitation. May others be able to walk safely in our steps, for we are walking with God. And then lastly, we come to Isaac's instruction. Isaac learned that God will always be true to his word. In those last words of the third verse of Genesis 26, the Lord said, I will perform the oath or the promise which I swear unto Abraham, my father, thy father. There is a time of failure, as we have highlighted, between verses 3 and 12 in Isaac's life. But he is being instructed that God abides faithful. Although we are faithless, he abides faithful. In spite of our weaknesses and failures, God will always honor his promises. Man's word is breakable. God's word is not breakable. Faithful is he that promised, who also will do it. Isaac was also taught that it's only by repentance and returning that broken fellowship with God can be restored. Notice carefully in verse 23 that he went up thence. He went up from Gerar, where he ought not to have sojourned. He went up thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night. Although Isaac was prospering materially, there was an awful lack in his life. The lack of communion with God. He was not prospering in the spiritual realm. And it was only as he went back to Beersheba that the Lord appeared to him, saying, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord. Only by turning his back on Gerar and getting back to God's altar, to his first love, did he have fellowship with God restored. Is there someone here this morning, and you have been a long time where you ought not to have been? Like Isaac, you must repent and return. Get back to the well. It's an evil thing and bitter that you have forsaken the living water for broken cisterns. And Isaac was taught obedience will bring blessing. The same night when he went back to Beersheba, the same night the Lord met with him. The Lord will meet with you if you will only repent and return and ask for the old paths. All of us, may we determine to follow the Lord fully. And if you haven't started to follow the Lord, if you're still a stranger to His saving grace, a stranger to God, may you this morning look to Christ. Look unto me and be ye saved, for I am God and there is none else. None else can deal with the great sin question. None else has power on earth to forgive sin. Through the blood of His cross, the atonement made, you can have peace with God, be an inheritor of eternal life. If you're not saved, may you be altogether persuaded to be a Christian this very day. Let us bow together in prayer, please. Our loving Father, we do thank Thee that Thou art the God of Isaac, and we pray that Thou wilt help us to take to heart the lessons of Isaac's life. We pray that there will not only be meekness in us. Lord, deliver us from weakness. Help us to be strong in standing up for Thine honor and for Thy glory. Help us to learn from Isaac to entreat Thee, to seek Thy face, to cast ourselves in the circumstances of this world on Thy great goodness and mercy and all-sufficient grace. And we pray, Lord, if there are those who are in Bypath Meadow, who are forsaken the good way, who have left off walking with Thee, oh, we pray that Thou wilt restore the joy of Thy salvation. Pray that all of our lives will be worthy of imitation, and we will impact others for the Lord's sake. So bless Thy word to us, we pray in the Savior's name. Amen.